May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart and the actions that follow bring joy to you, Lord Christ. Amen. So I don't think we can start today without giving an extra thank you to Jesus this morning for explaining his parable to us. We don't get that every week, so I guess I really don't have to do the heavy lifting. And since Jesus flushed it all out for us, I think our to-do list this morning is pretty short. You know, after we acknowledge the fact that we want to be the good soil, and not the ones who let their wealth distract them from the word, or let societal norms dictate how they live the word in their lives. No, we're the good soil. So that leaves us with one big question. Do we understand so that we can actually be the good soil? See, in a book titled The Shack by William Young, a gentleman named Mac is processing the loss of his daughter. And as he returns to the crime scene, he meets God. And he spends a weekend there with God. And in one chapter, the Holy Spirit invites him to go gardening. And throughout their time there, Mac, the main character, is talking about how messy, how dirty, how disorganized this garden is. And every time, the Holy Spirit always manages to remark about something that is beautiful, something that is awesome in the garden. Now, here's the spoiler for that chapter, not the whole book. The garden is his soul. So let's reframe the question then. Do you have the good soil that your soul desperately craves? Do you understand the word of God? And while this feels like an easy question, I'd argue that if it was, the world we'd see outside our door would look very different than the ones we currently do. No, I don't think it's any secret that there are plenty of people in the world legislating the law of sin and death into their lives. So we must make the decision. And I'm going to use the words of Paul because I don't want to shy away from the significance of this question, but we got to ask ourselves, do I subscribe to the law of sin and death? Or do I subscribe to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Because in order to be the good soil the world needs, we must understand the word of God. And if we're to believe Paul, then we got to conclude that understanding the word of God means submitting ourselves to the law of God. And in that case, let us then remind us all of the law. In order to paraphrase and do justice, I'd like to use Jesus' own words. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. See, understanding the word of God requires us not only to see our neighbor as loved by God, but to acknowledge the fact that because God loves them, so will I. This is why the one who understands is the one who has good soil. It's because they love the other just as God does. And the good fruit has the opportunity to survive. And this is why all the laws of God, all the calls to pursue justice by the prophets, hang on these two things. Because the seeds are the people planted all around us in our lives, everyone. And in our unconditional expression of God's love, we are then giving the seeds that are planted around us the opportunity to bear good fruit. And that's the faith. Those are the things that we know and believe. And all this hinges upon one thing. The one who understands the word of God also knows that faith without works is dead. The one who understands knows that faith without works becomes a mere sentiment. It becomes an empty platitude when no true intentional loving works accompany the faith. And by leaving our faith alone, without the works, we are making a mockery of the words of Jesus Christ, and we are plummeting them into nothing more than a mere bumper sticker. And friends, here, we are more than bumper sticker Christians. We are a church that goes beyond empty platitudes. And this comes with the understanding that just because we're going to love them like Christ does, doesn't mean we're allowed to play the role of judge like Christ does. See, our judgment of our neighbor, it bears no good fruit. The judgment of our neighbor is where our love goes to die. The judgment of our another is the weeds in the garden of your soul. stealing nutrients from your garden. Our judgment of someone else is preventing us from fully loving them the way God wants us to, the way God has called us to. It's stealing the nutrients from the seeds of those around you. It leaves no nutrients for good fruit to be born. And the reality is, friends, that even at our best, we're not going to be perfect. We don't seize every opportunity. Last week, I was reading on my front porch, and a gentleman with his shirt thrown over his shoulder, a backpack on the other side, covered in sweat, a gentleman who didn't look like me, humbled himself enough to ask me for a bottle of water. And when I apologetically let him know I didn't have one, I wished him well on his way. But there was a guilt that sat with me. That guilt that sat with me as I took a drink from the glass of cold ice water that sat next to me. The guilt that sits with you when you say, I know better. And I know better because I knew I hadn't followed up my faith with my works. I knew that my community needed me to be the good soil. Now more than ever. Yeah. That guilt that sat with me that said I knew better. Because friends, if we're to believe in Jesus, and we're to believe that our faith needs to be put into action, then we must also recognize that the easy way of doing things is no longer enough. Loving our neighbor is going the extra mile. The love of God is going inside and getting him a glass of water to go. And making sure that when he reaches the Dollar General two blocks down, he's got enough to get a bottle of water there for later. Because the glass doesn't matter. Because the monetary contribution doesn't matter, because God cares about him. And so will I. And we won't be perfect. And I beg of you not to expect perfection from yourself, but as a member of this community, here in this church, we must hold ourselves to a standard that ensures we're better than we were yesterday. And that requires us doing the work in our communities, work in ourselves. And if you're thinking, I'll love them if they stay over there. Or I'll love everyone except X. Because, well, they Y. Or I'll love them if they just stay out of my community. Well, they're fine unless they've, and there starts the work. That is not the good soil that bears good fruit. And we've all got work to do. It's the work required before loving our neighbor. And I know, I can't believe I'm actually asking all of us to take on more than loving our neighbor, because let's be honest, that's already a tall order for some of us. But in order to get to a point where loving our neighbors is in the forethought, not in the afterthought, we've got to do the work. We've got to work through some of these old sinful lessons and habits that we've been taught. See, the other part of having good soil is having healthy nutrients. And while we can't ignore the goodness of the sun and the rain, and while we should continue to give thanks for those things, each and every one of us needs extra nourishment in our soil. Friends, we've got a compost. Yeah. Compost. We got to work through the discards, work through the eggshells, old coffee grounds, and apple cores. Stir it all up. See, the nutrients for the gardens are also found there, in the mess. You see, the compost in our own lives, it's breaking down those barriers that have held you back from loving the neighbor. That neighbor that worships at a different church, who looks differently than you, falls in a different tax bracket than you, votes a different color than you. The compost is working through our old sinful habits right there. And it's also working through those times that we don't want to talk about. And the nourishment comes in those future moments when you realize the way in which the work being done here prepared you to love your neighbor there. The nourishment comes in the ways that you realize which God has prepared you to love in that very moment, to love the neighbor directly in front of you. And when we've worked through our compost, when we've broken down the judgments and past trauma of our life, well, we're going to realize we're not alone in this. And by golly, maybe we can help somebody else too. Bring others out of their state of judgment. Help others in their time of trauma. We can show love to one another by being with them in their time of need. Because either someone was there for you, or it was between you, God, and the walls. And while we recognize God's presence in that moment, we would never want it to be that way for somebody else. We would want it to be different, better. We can be there for them. The compost is breaking down those old ideologies of wealth and culture that have negatively impacted your love for your neighbor and left you in a position of judgment rather than love. You see, we'll know that our faith actually accompanies our work when we recognize the individual on the other side of our family gossip, on the other side of that Facebook comment, on the other side of the barrel of the gun in your hand, when we recognize that that individual is not only God's very own creation, but so desperately loved by God, and so will we, when we reach that moment, when it becomes the forethought and not the afterthought, we'll know that we've done the work. And by doing that work, we'll have brought about the nutrients into our lives, and we can become the good soil in our soul that will bring forth the good fruit of the Lord into this world that so desperately needs it, and we'll be able to fully love our neighbors that brings joy to God. You see, friends, we're going to make it through this. We're going to come out on the other side. So will you join me in doing the work to make sure that we are indeed better on the other side of this for our neighbors, so that we can usher in a community that bears the good fruit of the Lord as a normalcy, on a regular basis? Will you do the work with me to show our community that St. Paul's cares? Amen.